The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. I will be filling in for him tonight. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for the incredible honor and opportunity of sitting in for you. My buddy, I get MichaelSavage.com, MichaelSavage.com. For the absolute latest must-read stories you simply cannot find anywhere else, 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What you're going to see on MichaelSavage.com is what essentially the entire national media has been talking about now for the last 2.5 days, nonstop, around the clock. And that is the massacre in Aurora, Colorado. And in particular, there are some stories up on MichaelSavage.com that show how desperate the media have been in trying to smear conservatives, tar conservatives, connect conservatives as somehow being responsible for James Holmes walking into a movie theater, a crowded, filled movie theater, on the opening night, the premiere of Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, with a gas mask, with body armor, with a semi-assault rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, two handguns, and butchering 12 innocent people and wounding 58 others. And immediately, we had just heard about the massacre without even knowing who the true killer was, the identity of the killer, the background of the killer, any of his medical past, his psychological profile, on minimal information. Immediately, ABC News' George Stephanopoulos went to their supposed crackerjack reporter, Brian Ross, and right away said, "We found the James Holmes in Colorado, and he's on a Tea Party website. Maybe the Tea Party, there's a connection to the Tea Party." And they had to retract it. But immediately, they were looking to discredit and smear and slander conservatives and the right in this country, somehow tying them to this act of senseless, demonic, sadistic violence. And it has not stopped. For the entire weekend, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, USA Today, NPR, it's like a drumbeat, one after another. We need more gun control. We need stricter gun laws. We have to blame the internet. We have to blame American society. We have to blame everybody for this killing, except the man who did it. James Holmes. Have you noticed when the left talks about this case, when they talk about this tragedy and this senseless slaughter, they never blame the perpetrator. They never blame the gunman. They never blame the man who's got blood on his hands. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. It's the NRA's fault. It's the gun lobby's fault. It's the Second Amendment's fault. It's the internet's fault. Now there's too much information on the internet. We have to use this now to regulate and censor and control the internet now. No, because he got so much of his bomb-making equipment through the internet. What I find most despicable is how the media in this country, like a bunch of vultures, like a bunch of scavengers, like a bunch of mercenaries, immediately seized upon this massacre without even thinking about the victims, without even thinking about their families, without even a sense of common decency and dignity and respect for the dead and those mourning the dead and those still in hospital fighting for their lives, and immediately had to politicize it. Immediately had to exploit it for crass political advantage. Now, let's take some of the arguments one by one. This atrocity occurred because there are too many guns in America. It's time to repeal or substantially modify the Second Amendment. There are over 200 million guns in the United States. 200 million. You don't see atrocities happening every day. If it was guns that was driving people to kill people, with 200 million guns, there should be a massacre every 4 hours. But there isn't. The gunman, even by the narrative that we now know, booby-trapped his apartment with over 30 improvised bombs. He had poisons. He had chemicals. You honestly think a madman like him, an evil, twisted madman like him, thinking he's the Joker, dyeing his hair in red? You see him today making his first court appearance, looking like a zombie with those zombie eyes, not saying a word, standing in court with his stupid red hair, thinking he's the Joker, a character out of a comic book series, determined to massacre people. You think if they had banned all guns, he wouldn't have built a bomb? And if it wasn't a bomb he would have used, it would have been some chemical or some poison? Norway has one of the strictest gun laws in the entire Western world. So do most European countries. It's almost impossible to buy a gun legally in Norway. Did that stop Anders Breivik from buying them on the black market? Because there are guns on the black market everywhere, in every country, every culture, every society. And then going in near in Oslo, attacking a Labour Party youth camp and butchering dozens of people. So gun control is obviously not the answer. The answer, my friends, is very simple. We have a morally perverted popular culture. This is what the left doesn't want to talk about. We have a morally perverted popular culture that glamorizes celebrity, that glamorizes fame, that glamorizes evil on a regular, sustained basis. Look at our Hollywood films. Almost every film now is a bloodbath. There's no morality. There's no right from wrong. Everybody now wants to be on Jersey Shore. Everybody now wants to be Paris Hilton. Everybody now wants their own reality TV show. It doesn't matter whether you deserve to be famous or not. If you do something that is either outlandish, that is either outrageous, even killing people, you will become famous in America. What have we been doing for the last 2.5 days? Except wall-to-wall saturation coverage of this man's evil deeds. I turn on Fox News, they won't stop talking about it. CNN, they won't stop talking about it. MSNBC, they won't stop talking about it. They're giving this man what he's always wanted, fame and celebrity. That's why it's almost become like an annual ritual in America. Some sick, twisted, demonic person says, you know what? I'm going to be famous and I'm going to shoot up a campus or I'm going to go to a political rally like Jared Loughner did in Arizona, the Tucson shooting last year, or this guy, James Holmes, and I'm going to butcher 8, 10, 12, 15 people, and suddenly everybody's going to know my name. Everybody's going to know my story. I will become immortalized, at least for a while. And the media makes money off of it. Hollywood makes money off of it. Television makes money off of it. And the more eyeballs you can get, the more people fascinated with the blood, with the terror, with the evil, the more money and ads they can sell. And so it's like a self-perpetuating cycle. So you have a society swimming in this cultural poison that we've been indoctrinating and feeding our youth day after day, week after week, year after year, in an amoral celebrity culture where we no longer teach values. We've abolished Christianity from the schools. We've abolished faith from the public sector, from the public culture. What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get a Jared Loughner. You're going to get a James Holmes. That's what you get. And yet, instead of recognizing this, look at how the liberal media constantly have been pushing their own causes. Gun control being the at the top of the list. But it's attack the Tea Party. It's attack talk radio. It's to attack the Second Amendment. And here, to me, has been one of the most egregious acts of liberal media propaganda exploiting this entire crisis. Bill Moyers, LBJ's press secretary, the guy they love on PBS, this guy keeps running down America nonstop. He loves to say this country is an evil nation built upon slavery and exploitation. Well, you want to see one of the worst egregious abuses of trying to politicize this scandal? Here is Bill Moyers, in his own words, saying, you know what? No. The reason why we had the Colorado massacre is because America and Americans are inherently violent, bloodthirsty, and inept. This is part of our history. We're an evil people. And that's why we do evil deeds. You think I'm kidding? Boys, roll clip 4.
This too will pass. And the nation of the short attention span will quickly find the next thing to divert us from the hard realities of America in 2012. We are, after all, a country which began with the forced subjugation into slavery of millions of Africans and the reliance on arms against Native Americans for its westward expansion. In truth, more settlers traveling the Oregon Trail died from accidental, self-inflicted gunshot wounds than from Indian attacks. We were not only bloodthirsty, we were also inept.
Anti-Americanism. That's his cause célèbre. And so my question to the Savage Nation is a simple one. What is the worst story that you've heard? What is the worst tale that you can tell the people of America and the Savage Nation of flagrant liberal media bias? What is the worst example that you've seen of the media elites in this country trying to politicize this massacre in Aurora, Colorado, to push their left-wing cause? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Rob in Pittsburgh, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. I just wanted
to point out that it's sickening how the media so quickly politicizes this insane act and how how much they're profiting from the advertising dollars and whatnot from all the airtime they're giving it.
Rob, that's exactly what the producers and I were frankly talking about just before the show. It's disgusting. I'm a member of the media. Okay, I mean, I work at the Washington Times, and I'm looking at all my fellow colleagues. It is repulsive. It is wall-to-wall saturation coverage, the same facts, the same pictures, over and over and over, the same images, over and over again. And have you noticed, they don't have anything new to say. Within a couple of hours, they're already, I mean, the bodies are still not even cold. I remember on Friday, they're still, the bodies are not even cold. Some people are still fighting for their lives in the hospital. And they're running around saying, let's look at the Tea Party. Maybe the Tea Party had something to do with this. Could it be we got to push gun control? Yeah. Let's push gun control. So everybody now is jumping on this, looking to exploit it for political purposes. The president's exploiting it for political purposes. His allies are exploiting it for political purposes. The media now, they won't even let the poor family grieve in peace. Already, can I talk to your child? Was your child there? Can I interview them? They're interviewing 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. Can you tell us your experience? What did you see? How many guns did he have? Did anybody help him? Did you see dead bodies? What did you do? How many people were dead? How much blood and gore did you see? Can you tell us more? And notice, the advertising dollars are just pouring in. So this is the culture that we now live in. We live, as I pointed out, nobody wants to confront this fact. We now live in a celebrity, amoral culture, a popular culture, where if you do something wicked, if you do something outrageous, you become now a celebrity. James Holmes is now a household name, and he's a media creation. 1-800-449-8255. What's your worst example of liberal media bias that you've seen? I want to hear from you, Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. You want to see cheap liberal leftist propaganda trying to exploit the Aurora shootings to repeal the Second Amendment and impose radical gun control. Here is Bill Moyers, one of the most celebrated voices in the liberal press corps. The guy, I was asking this, I go, how old is this guy? Apparently he's pushing 80 now. To me, he's been around forever. He's in the 70s, I used to see this guy on PBS. This guy is like the ever ready battery. He just keeps going and going and going. And he learns nothing. He learns absolutely nothing from experience every time. Remember Columbine in 1999? There was Bill Moyers. We need gun control. Every time there's some kind of a shooting, there's Bill Moyers. Repeal the Second Amendment. You have guns, you have mass atrocities. That's the logic of Bill Moyers. So here's Bill Moyers saying, we're going to continue to have Aurora, Colorado shootings for years to come until we repeal the Second Amendment. Boys, roll clip 5.
We're fooling ourselves that the law could allow even an inflamed lunatic to easily acquire murderous weapons and not expect murderous consequences. Fooling ourselves that the Second Amendment's guarantee of a well-regulated militia be construed as a God-given right to purchase and own just about any weapon of destruction you like. That's a license for murder and mayhem. And it's a great fraud that has entered our history.
What is this guy talking about weapons of mass destruction? You can't buy a bazooka. You can't buy a missile. You can't buy an improvised explosive device legally in this country. But I go back to my original point. James Holmes had bombs throughout his entire apartment booby-trapped that he had obtained illegally via the internet in our information age in a free society. So, is Bill Moyers and the left, what are they proposing now? That we become like a Chinese police state? A North Korean police state? A Cuban police state? A Russian police state? Where we regulate and censor the internet? Is that the only way now to prevent future shootings, according to their logic? Millions of Americans own 12-gauge shotguns for sporting events and hunting. They don't go and butcher people. In fact, I would flip it upon all the liberals. Their whole argument, I'd flip it. I'd say, no. None of you are looking at the facts. The facts are that in Aurora County, in Aurora, Colorado, it is one of the strictest gun control counties in the United States. They have very strict gun laws in the suburb of Aurora, in Aurora, Colorado. It's the exact opposite was the problem. Can you imagine if every second or third person that went into that theater was packing a Colt 45? What if they were armed with a gun on their belt or inside their vest? How many people you think would have died? It wouldn't have been 12. It wouldn't have been 58 wounded. If you had a properly self-armed citizenry in that theater in Aurora, Colorado, that guy walks in with a gas mask, he may kill one, maybe two. But after that, James Holmes is dead or he's badly wounded. Instead, he ends up killing 12, 58 wounded, people scurrying, running, panic. And then you want to see what an evil, twisted, satanic man he is? He then goes to his car and quietly waits for the police. Like nothing had happened. Like he was just waiting to give out flowers to the cops. Waiting to give them a nice drink and a popcorn at the movie theater. And he tells them, I'm the Joker. Put the handcuffs on me. And now, these cases are going to go on for months, if not years, in the courtroom. And we're going to haggle over the death penalty. And this man is going to gloat. He's going to stand there and gloat every step of the way. And he's going to parade for the media. And he's going to go on about how he's the Joker. And he's going to go on how he planned this meticulously. And how he's a character in some movie in his head. And the victims and their families are not going to receive justice for years to come, if ever. Proper justice. No. The answer is the opposite. Had you had more of a Second Amendment right in Aurora, Colorado, you wouldn't have had 12 dead and 58 wounded, Bill Moyers. But that would mean thinking critically. That would mean just blindly following what the New York Times says, Bill. I don't know. I mean, I know you're pushing 80 now. And it's a little late to change your views, but did it ever occur to you that maybe more guns leads to more civility and more safety, not less? You don't believe me? Ask the people of Norway. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What egregious example of liberal media bias exploiting the shooting in Aurora, Colorado have you seen? What have been some of your personal experiences that you've witnessed over the last couple days? I want to hear from you. Joe in New York on WOR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Joe.
Another case of exploitation for emotional reasons is the president, Obama. I mean, he interjected, he brought himself into it by saying, what if his daughters were there? Well, we know that if his daughters were there, Secret Service would have cleaned that place, would have fine-tooth comb and find out and secure it, and it would have never happened. So that whole statement by him is really exploiting the situation. The other thing I'd like to say is if the family was intact, we had traditional families like we did years ago, they would have been intervening with people like this. They would have known.
Bingo. Joe, listen, look. I'm going to talk about Obama in the second hour. Believe me, how he's deliberately exploited this for his own crass, personal, political ends to me is disgusting. But the deeper issue, the more important issue, ironically, is the one you touched on. I said this. I was called early in the morning on Friday. I was woken up in my bed. I had radio stations were asking me for my opinion immediately on the Aurora shooting. And I was like, I'm in bed. I haven't even heard about it. I went on the air and I said this, and I'm telling you, I was proved prophetically right. I said, you're probably going to find out that this man was seriously mentally ill, that he's psychotic. Just as the same thing happened with Jared Lee Loeffner, the guy responsible for the Tucson shooting last year, and same thing with the guy at the Virginia Tech shooting. And I said, the issue that nobody in this country wants to deal with is that we no longer understand how to treat mentally ill people. And the reason is simple. Since the 1960s and accelerating in the 1970s, there were liberal social policies put in place that said it is wrong, it's immoral, it's a violation of their civil liberties to put neurotic, psychotic, mentally ill people in mental institutions, to institutionalize them. No, it violates their freedoms. And in fact, they even had a whole literature behind it. Hollywood celebrated. If you remember Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because then authority was evil. The establishment was evil. So no, according to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's the inmates who should be running the asylum. It's the inmates who are normal. It's not the doctors who are normal. So they're just eccentric. They're just different. That's all. There's no normal and unnormal. No, 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 no. We're all the same. It doesn't matter. There's no right, wrong, insane, sane, normal, not normal. That's insulting. And so, for the last 25 years, we have essentially opened the doors of the asylums. And now people who are mentally ill, who should be institutionalized and given proper treatment, and with proper treatment, in fact, would be able to be reintegrated in society, we let them roam the streets. And they don't get the medication and the care that they need. And so you continue to have these obviously psychotically ill people committing mass atrocities. And so my question is a simple one. Why don't we start institutionalizing people again? And if you start institutionalizing people who are obviously a menace to their colleagues, to their family, to their friends, then you wouldn't be having these atrocities. But that takes a family. That takes a family structure. That takes real community. And that means getting the trial lawyers out of the way so you're not sued for putting somebody in a mental asylum when he says he's the Joker and he wants to blow up buildings and kill people. Call me crazy. But you know what? Crazy people should be in an asylum. That's just my opinion. William in Chicago on WJJG. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. My only thought is when I looked in that man's eyes today, when I saw him on the in the courtroom, is that I saw despair and futility in his eyes. I mean, seriously, a case of mental illness. That's what I saw. Just my personal beliefs. The only other thing I would say about everything is, you know, the man had the world at his footstool and he cast his pearls before swine.
Look, I think he's an evil man. I think he's both. I think he's evil and he's psychotic. You can be both. I looked in his eyes and I did see deranged, but I also saw evil. No one's going to tell me that a man who can walk into a movie theater and massacre 12 people in cold blood and wound 58 others, dressed up as a villain in a movie, in a comic book series, and then claim you're the Joker, and then booby trap your own house with over 30 bombs to blow up the whole building and kill police officers, you are one sick, sick, sick puppy, my friend. And so no one's going to tell me that this guy's not evil and that he's not psychotic. What I don't understand is this. Is that now it's all coming out from friends, from his students, fellow colleagues, people who knew him, that he was creepy, that he was bizarre, that they found him strange. I mean, this was a PhD neuroscience student at the University of Colorado. This wasn't some homeless guy on the street. People knew him. He had a career. He was moving places. And nobody said to themselves, you know what? If he's that strange, if he's that a little disconnected from reality, if he makes everybody nervous, where you have voicemails where he's acting like the Joker, maybe something is not all up there with this guy, and maybe he needs help. No, everybody turned a blind eye. And I've personally seen it. I have personally seen it. I worked at the Washington, when I was at the Washington Times, I still am, but in the newsroom about 6 years ago, they hired somebody. He was on his medication, I believe, when he came in for the interview. But when he was on the copy desk, he was just a low-level copy desk editor, a copy editor. You could tell he was mentally ill. I mean, literally, mentally ill. He would be swearing at people. He would be making crazy comments. He would be saying all sorts of lewd things, vulgar things. He thought he was the editor of the paper. He was running around contesting everything in the store, in the newspaper, what was going in the paper. And I made complaint after complaint, as did many people in the newsroom. And you know what we were told by people at the paper? They said, you don't understand. He just may be, quote, eccentric. If we fire him, the trial lawyers may sue us for millions of dollars for unlawful dismissal. It'll bankrupt the paper. Everyone will lose their job, their pensions, their health benefits, their salaries, everything. You have to be very careful. So then I found out that he was secretly taping every person he spoke to, thinking there was a grand conspiracy to prevent him from being the editor of the paper. I then, when I found out that he was secretly taping me, every time he had a discussion with me on some little point of style in the newspaper, whatever, you know, use we instead of he or whatever, some word, I went to the managing editor and I said, it's either all of us or him. Take your pick, because we're going to leave. Because I'm telling you, he's secretly taping everybody in the newsroom. And today he's taping. Tomorrow he'll go postal. And so under pressure from the entire newsroom, they let the guy go. But what I'm telling you is there are mentally ill people all around us. And yet this guy deserves to be institutionalized. I found out later off he went off into the woods, literally. 6 months, he went off into the woods. Nobody knows what he did. He just went off into the woods. God knows what he did. And that's the problem. We are not taking care of our mentally ill people. And we are the victims. And soon there'll be another atrocity, mark my words, by another deranged man. It's time to institutionalize these people. 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Let's go to Dave in Florida on WFTL. Dave, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
No, thanks for taking the call. My message, very briefly, given the fact that they're talking about taking the Second Amendment off, where was Homeland Security when this was going on? It took months before this guy had enough time to get his stuff together. And where was Jen Napolitano and Homeland Security while all this thing was going on, sir?
Nowhere. I mean, that's the point, Dave, is that they keep imposing on our civil liberties. They keep taking away our rights piece by piece. They're basically sexually assaulting us at the airport. That's what TSA does. They're groping you. It's basically a form of sexual assault. If I did to you on the streets what TSA has been doing to me every time I fly, you would charge me and want me to be arrested for sexual harassment. But no, this man is buying bomb material. This man has over 30 bombs. He's got chemicals. He's got poisons. He arms himself to the teeth. He was ready to blow up the entire building and take everybody down with him. He didn't want to just kill those people in the movie theater. So if we're paying these tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars into the Department of Homeland Security and you can't keep us safe, what if this guy, what if he was an Islamic jihadist? What if? I mean, just think about this. So you mean to tell me it's that easy in America now to just go and kill people as much as you want? Are we going to become like the West Bank? Are we going to become like Israel, where cafes are going to be blown up and people are going to get shot in buses, women and children? shot to death by crazy jihadists, and they can just get a bomb anywhere they want and just order it off the internet? That's the whole point. Why? Where is the Department of Homeland Security? You know, Obama's got a big mouth. He's running around now. He loves the victims. He feels for their families. We need gun control. He has to interject himself in all of this. But he never once asks himself this question. What if this wasn't a crazed lunatic who thought he was the Joker? What if this guy was Hezbollah? What if this guy was Al-Qaeda? What if this guy was a jihadist? What if there are other jihadists who look at this and say, hey, if it's that easy to blow up a movie, sorry, to butcher people at a movie theater and potentially booby trap your house and blow it up to kingdom come, we can paralyze America like we paralyze Israel. I mean, these people don't even think like that, because all he cares about is his reelection campaign. So he has to be compassionate. He has to be like Oprah Winfrey. He has to soothe the country. He has to be consoler in chief. Really? We don't have bigger problems in this country. You don't. Your job is to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. Your job is not to go to Aurora, Colorado, and give platitudes and false speeches saying how you associate yourself and empathize with the victims when you don't know these people, when they're absolute strangers to you. This was a local tragedy in the state of Colorado. It has nothing to do with Obama's reelection campaign. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage here on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Do you think the media are exploiting the shooting in Aurora, Colorado? I want to hear from you. We'll be right back after this break. Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. MichaelSavage.com. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Everything you need to know about the Aurora massacre is on MichaelSavage.com. Literally everything. From the profile of the killer to the way the media has been exploiting this story. And Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for allowing me to fill in for you tonight, especially on such a special night on the heels of a tragedy. And to me, what is stunning about all of this is how the media are not even allowing the family members to grieve. They're not even allowing the victims, the dead, to be buried with honor and dignity before they pounce on this story to push their mantra of gun control. And so here you have this leftist, Michael Isikoff, who now goes on the air. He goes on NBC and he says, you know, those four weapons that were purchased by James Holmes in Colorado. Yeah, they were legal. But the semi-assault rifle, the semi-assault weapon, the AR-15, well, you see, that used to be illegal. As recently as 10 years ago, that was illegal under the assault weapons ban. But you guys guessed it. You knew it was going to come to this. When you heard about that shooting, what did you think the left was going to do? And Michael Isikoff's going to do it right now on this clip. We're going to play for you very shortly. Blame Bush. That's right. The assault weapons ban was lifted by George W. Bush. So really, Bush is to blame for the shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And then Isikoff says, and you know what? Obama promised to restore that ban, and he didn't do it. If only we had an assault weapons ban, none of this would have happened, according to Michael Isikoff. Boys, roll clip 8.
What we do know is that he purchased those 4 weapons recovered from him, the 2 Glock pistols, the shotgun, and that AR-15 assault rifle legally in Colorado, although it is worth mentioning, and this is something gun control groups are emphasizing today, that AR-15 is something that was illegal as recently as 10 years ago. There was an assault weapons ban in this country from 1994 to 2004 that was lifted under President Bush. President Obama had pledged during his campaign to restore it. He has dropped that issue. So the assault, that AR-15 is a legal weapon now, but was not 10 years ago.
So if you couldn't buy the AR-15, you wouldn't have had the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, according to Michael Isikoff. That's what the gun control groups are saying. It's Bush's fault. It's Georgie's fault. It's back to Bush. Always blame. When in doubt, blame W. Always blame W. When in trouble, I always say this to people now. Oh, my back hurts. It's George Bush's fault. George Bush. Oh, I got liver. I got a kidney stone. Blame George Bush. It's always George Bush's fault. Anything that's wrong in the world, George Bush's fault. What the libs cannot explain, they can't explain this, is if the man was able to make over 30 bombs, which is illegal, you don't think he could have walked into that theater as Bane, who breathes venom? And by the way, if you saw the movie, and I did see the movie this weekend, it's, by the way, a very good movie. The Dark Knight Rises is a superb movie. He uses bombs throughout the entire movie. He could have walked into that movie theater, and instead of using an AK-15, he could have just dropped the bomb. And everybody would have been blown to kingdom come. So making something legal or illegal is obviously not the solution here. And furthermore, I go back to my previous point, which no liberal seems able to refute. What if everybody in that theater, whatever, every second or third person in that theater, there are stories now that are coming out that some boyfriends gave up their lives to defend their girlfriends, to protect and shield their girlfriends. They took a bullet for their girlfriends. It's michaelsavage.com. What if they were armed? Instead of sacrificing their bodies, instead of using themselves as human shields, what if they were packing a gun? They wouldn't be dead. And that shooter would most likely be dead. Holmes would be dead. And a lot of people's lives would have been spared. So I would argue the exact opposite. The fact that Aurora County has such strict gun laws, which effectively disarms the citizens, disarms the law-abiding, and enables madmen and lunatics and cold-blooded killers like James Holmes, they can still get weapons, legally or illegally. If he can make a bomb, not one, but 30 of them, you don't think he can acquire guns, legally or illegally? And on top of this, and people are going to say, Jeff, you're being cold-hearted. Jeff, you're being insensitive. Jeff, you're not showing enough empathy for the victims. I said this Friday morning when I was first called by radio stations across this country. My heart goes out to those family members and to the victims. Because I'm going to be very confessional. I am a huge fan of the Batman comic book series, and in particular of the Dark Knight series by Frank Miller. I think it's one of the best graphic novels ever done. I read comic books until I was 18 years of age. I wanted to go to that Thursday premiere showing. Obviously not in Colorado. I live outside of D.C. But that could have happened here. It just happened to have happened in Colorado. That could have been me. That could have been my friends. That could have been my family members.
shot up and killed at a movie theater. You mean to tell me in America now we can't even go to see a movie without being afraid of being shot? And yet, how is it suddenly the job of the President of the United States to personally interject himself in tragedy after tragedy after tragedy? This happened in the community of Aurora. It is a local law enforcement and local issue and a state issue. The President of the United States is utterly powerless to do anything about this. Anything. There's nothing the president could do about this. We've had numerous mass shootings and atrocities going all the way back up to our founding and before our founding. Calvin Coolidge didn't feel the need to speak out whenever there was a massacre in Chicago, probably due to gang violence. Eisenhower didn't speak out. I mean, my point is this. FDR didn't speak out. Why is it now, all of a sudden, but the last 10, 15 years in this Oprahfication of our society, now, all of a sudden, presidents now not just have to give out a statement, which I thought was fine. Romney gave out a statement. The president gives out a statement. Okay, it's respectful. But now he's in Aurora, Colorado. It's become a re-election campaign event for him. He's now at a hospital. Oh, our heart goes out to the victims. Our heart goes out to their family members. I'm not speaking to you as a president. I'm speaking to you as a father. I have two daughters. My God, what if my daughters were there? Oh, buddy, that's none of your business. You can't even let these family members grieve. They can't even be with their wounded children or brothers or sisters in a hospital without seeing your face and you there with the TV cameras everywhere. So you can seem empathic, caring, compassionate. Is now everything to be exploited for crass political purposes? Is everything now to be politicized? Is there nothing sacred in our society anymore, Mr. Obama? You know, notice the timing of this. We are now in the middle of a heated election campaign. And I don't want to seem crass or cynical, but I know how they think in the Obama camp. Colorado is a key swing state. That's why the president is there. Notice, for example, in other shootings, notice the Virginia Tech shooting. You didn't get this kind of wall-to-wall coverage. Not days and days and days. Notice Columbine. When Columbine occurred in 1999, yes, there was press coverage, but not like this. Everybody now is exploiting these corpses. Everybody now is exploiting these dead bodies. And here is Obama, in his own words, speaking at an Aurora hospital before a vigil, saying, no, no, I come to you as a father now. That's how I come to you, and I want you to know that I stand with you. Boys, play clip 12.
When you have an opportunity to visit with families who have lost their loved ones, as I describe to them, I come to them not so much as president as I do as a father and as a husband. And I think that the reason stories like this have such an impact on us is because we can all understand what it would be to have somebody that we love taken from us in this fashion, what it would be like and how it would impact us.
Shameless. FTL. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
my pleasure,
the
Alan.
Opportunity to say a couple of things. Number one, what I like to say that just what you actually said is that everything is about this man, about this president. Okay? He won't let them have their day, whether weeks or whatever it is, to mourn for themselves. Absolutely. Now, in Fort Hood, no, first of all, what just happened, he had a day of mourning where they had half mass. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a vigil, yes.
Right. At Fort Hood, did they have half mass there? These people who are protecting the United States and everything? I don't believe so. I mean, this man is about this man. When Trayvon Martin was killed and the other guy defending himself, whatever it might be, the point is he came out and said, he could have been my son.
same thing, one after the other. When the Harvard president or professor...
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. When he came to defend his Harvard buddy, Professor Louis Gates, then he has to intervene in a local matter. Trayvon Martin, it's a local matter that could have been his son. But, Alan, you touched on something very important. When our soldiers were butchered at Fort Hood, 12 dead, I believe 13 dead, by Major Nadal Hassan, I didn't see him running down to Fort Hood. I didn't see wall-to-wall media saturation. I didn't see these people running around saying, oh, gun control, or better yet, maybe we have a problem with radical Islamists in the military because this guy was a mujahideen, a self-confessed mujahideen, Major Nadal Hassan. No, 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 no. We can't sacrifice diversity, they told us. Where was the president then? I didn't see him making speeches. I didn't say, no, I come to you now as a father. I come to you now as a husband. I come to you as a spouse. You've lost a loved one. My heart bleeds for you. No. What he kept saying over and over again is, hey, don't sacrifice our diversity now. Leave. Hey, I don't want this to be open season on fellow Muslims in America. So look at how this man politicizes everything that he does to advance his power, his reelection, and his leftist agenda. And so my question to you is a simple one. Do you believe it is the proper role and duty of the President of the United States to comment and, in fact, even go and speak at places or events where you've had shootings or massacres like in Aurora, Colorado? Is the President our consoler in chief or our commander in chief? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. Richard in Sacramento on KSTE. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, do you really want to arm all the moviegoers?
I'm just saying, I'm making an obvious point. If the liberals are going to push gun control, don't you? Let me ask you this, Richard. If people had guns in that movie theater, do you honestly think there'd be 12 dead and 58 wounded? You don't think many lives would have been saved and spared?
No, he had full body armor.
Oh, what? And so what? You don't think guns can penetrate body armor? What, suddenly now you think this guy's invincible because he's in body armor?
I think he still got off just as many shots as he did.
You think he would have stood there and butchered 12 people and wounded 58 other, gotten off hundreds of rounds if people were firing back at him?
Yes, I think he would have.
Well, I mean, Richard, I'm sorry, man. You and I don't live on the same planet. I don't know what to tell you. He wasn't, it's not like this guy was encased in some kind of a metal block or something. This, yes, he had body armor. He had facial armor. He had an armor plate on his chest. But bullets can pierce armor. And if people had fired back, first of all, I believe if he knew that people could have fired back, he wouldn't have gone there. Because this guy's a coward. Like many of these killers, they're cowards. So number one, I don't think he even would have done it. That's number one. But number two, why should these young men, I listed a couple of them before, they gave up their lives protecting their girlfriends. What if they had guns? They would be alive to this day. So I don't understand why liberals constantly want to sacrifice innocent law-abiding Americans and deprive them of their fundamental right to self-defense. Why do you, Richard, why do you want to deny people the right to defend themselves? I don't understand that. I don't understand why you want to deprive people of that. And so my argument is exactly the opposite. The more guns, the more safety. And the proof is in the pudding. I hate to tell you this, 200 million guns. And there aren't that many massacres because people are safe when you're protected. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 if you want to join the conversation. Obama is in Aurora, Colorado, at a hospital visiting the wounded. He was at a vigil. He's saying he feels their pain. He's with them. He understands them. He sympathizes with them. Do you believe the president is politically exploiting this for crude campaign purposes, electoral purposes? And more than that, is it the role, is it the duty, is it the job of the commander-in-chief to get involved in these sort of local state issues where he has no power, no responsibility? Do you think it's the job of the president to have to go down and be consoler-in-chief? 1-800-449-8255. Jason, you've been patiently holding from Mississippi. Thanks. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'm Jason, and I'm in Mississippi. Yeah, I think it was his job in order for him to go down there and visit the victims and their families.
Why?
Well, you say that he has no power to do anything about it. If they talk gun control, then yeah, he does have some type of power concerning if they start talking about gun control.
Yeah, but we're not talking about gun control. We're talking about what can he have done to have prevented this madman from killing 12 people and wounding 58? Nothing. He couldn't have done anything. In fact, he can't even help prosecute the case. It's going to be in the hands of the prosecution in Colorado. So literally, legally, criminally, civilly, there's nothing that Obama could do.
Yeah, but
nothing.
What could Bush have done?
Nothing. That's my point.
To stop Katrina. What could he have done?
Well, now you're talking about eggs, apples, and oranges. We're not talking. Let me ask you this, Jason. I'm being serious. Are you on drugs?
We're talking about a group of people.
No, I'm asking you a different question. Are you on drugs? Do you take drugs?
Do I take drugs? No drugs at all.
Are you sure? Because you sound like you do. And you reason like you do. And what you and many liberals are not, what you guys are completely ignoring. And the mainstream media has been suppressing this story. It's up there on michaelsavage.com. This guy, James Holmes, was a huge pothead. This guy was a rampant marijuana user. He had been smoking up for years. And he was also addicted to Vicodin, a prescription painkiller. But you notice from all of these left-wingers in the media, they never say, oh, ban pot. Oh, criminalize pot. Make pot illegal. They never make that argument. It's always the guns. You got to go after the guns, not the drugs that destroyed his mind, not the drugs that warped and distorted his mind. No. It's not that. So you get callers saying, well, what did Bush do about Katrina? What did Bush do about Katrina? That's what pot does to your brain.
What did he do? He flew over instead of visiting the victims. He flew over.
He said, exactly. Listen, it's not 2000. Hey, man, it's not 2005. Okay, it's not when Katrina happened, 2006. It's 2012. Do you know that? You know
that. Just to be there, that's his job.
But Bush is not president. You know that, eh? Amen.
If it wasn't an election year, it wouldn't even be a question.
I know, man. Bush is not president. Do you realize that?
You know what the thing was?
What's the thing, man? You tell me, what's the thing? Hey, man, take a hit, and then tell me what's the thing.
What's the what?
What's the thing, man?
Let me let you know.
Okay. That was his job. That's his job. Okay, man, it's his job. He's got to be a counselor to people. I understand that. They need counseling, and that's what he's there for, to give them psychological and therapeutic help. I understand that. Take another puff. Take another hit, buddy, okay? Keep listening to the show. Hey, George Bush is in power. We've just had Katrina. It's Bush's fault. Okay, people are dying in New Orleans. It's Bush's fault. Okay, man. Yeah, man. Look, this is what happens. This is what brains does. This is what drugs does to your brain. Now, what I don't understand is the president of the United States could not have prevented that shooting. He couldn't have. The president of the United States can't help prosecute the case. The president of the United States
can't do anything on behalf of the victims. Now, imagine if you're right now in an Aurora hospital. Your son or your daughter or your spouse or your brother or sister is fighting for their very life. And this clown comes in through the hallway and through the door, and he wants to shake your hand, and he wants to tell you how sorry he is, and he wants to empathize with you and your suffering because he feels your pain, because you know what? His daughters could have been there, even though his daughters have wall-to-wall Secret Service protection, but let that go. And the cameras are there, and there's a big media scrum, and the reporters are there, and they want to capture him hugging you and holding you and shaking your hand and kissing you. Is that what you want? I ask all of you now, not liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, as human beings, as Americans, as citizens. Or are you thinking, get out of here. My child is dying. They're fighting for their life. This is what we've done. Everything now is used for cheap, crass political purposes. Even dead people. Even dead people. Nothing is sacred anymore. And then, on top of this, as now the media is lionizing Obama now, he's a great, compassionate statesman now. He's so caring because he went to Aurora, Colorado to give a speech. Because he really understands how these people feel. Because he's had children who've died. Yeah. They were also shot up in a movie theater, according now to this narrative. Now, if you've noticed with these left-wingers in the press, it almost began 12 hours after the shooting, and it's been going nonstop over the weekend, accelerating throughout today. They're now acting as James Holmes' defense attorney. They are now laying the groundwork for that he be declared insane. Because God forbid he should be in prison for the rest of his life. Or in fact, he should get the death penalty. And why? Because for decades now, the liberal left in this country puts the rights of criminals above those of victims. That's what you've been going on. And that's what you're seeing now. So now the liberal media is going on and on about Holmes was such a sick man. And this sickness, who knows when this sickness starts in your mind? It may go back a few years. It may go all the way back to childhood. This may just come on suddenly. You have no control. Suddenly you wake up one morning and you want to kill people. You want to booby trap your house and you want to shoot up a movie theater. And really, in a sense, isn't James Holmes the real victim here? Because he's tormented by these thoughts. And now they are laying the groundwork because they don't want him in jail and they don't want him executed because, as Michael Savage points out on his website on michaelsavage.com, inmates, even among criminals, they have more honor than many in the liberal press corps. Even inmates are saying, you know what? If we get him in our prison, we'll kill him because this guy's a butcher. So now the liberal media says, no, my God, he can't go to prison. If he goes to prison, those inmates are going to tear him limb from limb. We can't have that. Holmes is the victim here. You see, he's psychologically insane. It's a poor guy. He's not all right upstairs. So here is CNN, their legal analyst, making the argument, Paul Kalin, about, no, you don't understand. James Holmes has he's got an insanity defense here. Boys, roll clip 9.
The first thing they're looking at, of course, is the possibility of an insanity defense. But before an insanity defense, the first thing a criminal defense attorney has to assess is, can the client actually stand trial? Is he competent to stand trial? And the attorney will be talking to him, trying to decide two things. One, does he understand the charges against him? And two, can he provide any kind of meaningful assistance in his defense? If the answer to both of those questions is yes, he understands the proceedings and can assist, then he can proceed to the next step, which is preliminary hearings, trial, maybe an insanity defense.
That's Paul Kalin. He's a legal analyst for CNN. As he's talking, and he's not the only one, you can almost hear in the background Holmes's defense attorneys taking notes. They're basically making the case for the defense attorneys. Holmes, he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't understand the representation we're giving him. He doesn't understand the legal proceedings. He's loony as a fruitcake. He really is the Joker. He's the Joker. He's mad like the Joker. Send him to Arkham. Send him to an insane asylum. But whatever you do now, don't try him. And if you try him, it's an insanity defense. So now, there's no good in good and evil. There's no right and wrong. There's no the punishment should fit the crime. No. No, no. Now he's a sick man. Now he needs our compassion. He needs our understanding. He needs to be in a nice mental asylum with beautiful grounds, lush green, a nice 24-hour cable television where he's sedated all day and given drugs. Yeah, and then he can play on the computer a little bit. Maybe Batman. Batman and Robin. Yeah, he liked that. Batman versus Bane. He can relive what he did in his own mind. This is now what the liberal media is now laying the groundwork for. Notice nobody in the left-wing press has said either this man should be executed or this man deserves life in prison. That he is a cold, stone-cold-blooded mass murderer. Evil to the bone. It's foreign. Even that way of thinking is foreign to them. And so now they are basically acting as this man's defense attorneys. And they're basically telling his defense team, no, the evidence is overwhelming, but you got to go for insanity, okay? Go for insanity and you may get it because God forbid he should be punished. Gary in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, in Obama in his statement, he said, I know how you feel. Well, that's completely ridiculous. He's never gone through what these people have gone through. My heart goes out to these people, but I've never gone what they've gone through, so I don't know how they feel. So how in the world could he even have any idea how they feel?
That's a brilliant point, Gary. That's an absolutely brilliant point, and I want to thank you for that call. He doesn't know how they feel. He's lying. He's shamelessly lying through his teeth. And look, unless you've had a loved one murdered, shot down, gunned down, you don't know how these people are feeling. Unless you've lost someone very dear and very close to you, you don't know how they're feeling. So for this man to go there and exploit this because he wants to get his point, he wants to get his favorabilities up. And look, remember, this may seem very cynical to all of you because you're members of the Savage Nation. You see, you're normal red-blooded Americans, okay? Your blood is red and you have a heart and a soul and you don't think about power and money and greed all the time. But for these guys advising Obama, I'll tell you what they see. When they look at Colorado, they see purple. It's not a blue state. That's not a red state. It's a purple state. That's a key swing state. They need that state come November 2012. This is a big thing in Colorado. Mr. President, you got to go down there. You got to seem compassionate. You have to seem sensitive. You have to seem like you're outreaching to the people, that you're a caring, decent man who feels their pain. That's what you got to do, Mr. President. The optics are all important here. How you come across, because we need votes in Aurora, in Denver, and everywhere else across Colorado. That's why he feels their pain. So what is the saddest thing of all is the political class is manipulating this for their purposes. The gun control lobby is manipulating this for their political purposes. The media is manipulating this for their purposes, and the president is manipulating this for his purposes. Everybody is manipulating this. But 12 are dead. 58 wounded. Their families are not manipulating this. For them, it's real. Now, what does this say about our politicians, and what does this say about our media? It tells you everything you need to know about them. Joe in Sacramento, you're on the Savage Nation. Go, baby.
Hey, Jeff. Let's look at the difference, or the similarities, actually, between this shooting that this guy killed 12 people, wounded like 58 people. We know how many bullets he fired. We know what he wore. We know who he is, where he's from, what his education. Contrast that with Fast and Furious. Eric Holder has stonewalled. He refuses to talk about it. We know that we had one of our border patrol agents killed. 200 to 300 Mexican citizens were killed with these guns, and Obama is stonewalling. He cites executive privilege. why do we know so much in less than a few hours about this guy killing these people? And Eric Holder is stonewalling. Obama is stonewalling on Fast and Furious.
Joe, that is a absolutely superb point. Notice when the media wants to sell papers or sell advertising on television. Notice in the last 48 to 72 hours, we know everything about Holmes. We know his background. We know his state of mind. We know his college records. We know what his professors thought of him. We know where he got the guns. We know where he got the bombs. We know everything. It comes to Fast and Furious, nothing. Nobody's investigating. Nobody's looking. But more than that, forget the stonewalling. Eric Holder will not even take a phone call from the dead Border Patrol agent Brian Terry's family. Never mind issue. Give a speech about how he feels their pain. Look at the double standard. Some Americans, apparently, when there's a re-election campaign on, their lives are a little bit more important than others. That, my friends, is crass cynicism at its worst. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Sean in Florida on WMMG. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I had an interesting point to bring up for the left wing. Is what was to stop Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City when he blew up the building without firing a single shot? And then what was to stop the terrorists on 9/11 from flying planes into the buildings without firing a single shot?
Sean, that's a very good point. Exactly. Gun control has nothing to do with it. McVeigh using fertilizer, I mean, such basic ingredients to build a bomb and then blew up a building, killed infinitely more people than were killed in Aurora, Colorado. You mentioned the 9/11 attacks. Take over a plane, ram it into a building, you can end up killing thousands. So, again, though, it's an obsession with them. Because, see, it's not about guns. It's not even about the Second Amendment. It's about expanding government control over your life. They don't want you armed. They want a monopoly of violence that only they can control. That's why they're opposed to the Second Amendment. Think about it, just logically, okay? If you can defend yourself, if you have the innate ability to arm yourself and defend yourself, well, then the state can't take away any of your other rights. It's why in every authoritarian or totalitarian government, from the Nazis to the communists, one of the first things they ever did was disarm their citizenry. So I've been saying this over and over again, and no liberal has a rebuttal. If people were armed in that theater in Aurora, Colorado, there wouldn't have been 12 dead and 58 wounded. There just wouldn't have. And I could go on and on of examples where people have personally told me, no, I don't get robbed or I don't get mugged because they know I'm packing. And that's why people are safe. Guns are not the problem. They're the solution. The Second Amendment now, the Second Amendment forever. And if the left wing doesn't like it, go smoke a pipe. Too bad. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Set.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the latest must-read stories on the massacre in Aurora, Colorado. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I want to thank you one last time for allowing me to fill in for you tonight, especially on such an important night on the heels of that tragic shooting in Colorado. Thank you so much, my buddy. And, you know, thinking about this over the last 24 to 48 hours, I keep hearing the left go on about gun control. And how you need to take away people's guns and you need to make more guns illegal. And yet there is a story up on michaelsavage.com, top right-hand corner, in the London Daily Telegraph, which exposes an important issue and an important angle that nobody in this country is willing to discuss, especially in our mainstream media. And that is James Holmes' extensive drug use. And to me, it's a sad commentary on the American press corps and the American media elites that the best reporting that's been going on in this whole Aurora massacre and this whole Aurora tragedy is not from the U.S. press corps, it's from the British press corps. You want to understand what's happening in America? You got to read the British press. That's how bad the press has become in America. So if you go to michaelsavage.com, about half the stories up there are linked to British stories, to British media outlets, forgive me, who are talking about this story. And so none of the major newspapers, none of the major networks are looking into James Holmes' past drug use and his drug background. And I said this right away on Friday. I said it in show after show when radio stations called me up. I said, I bet when you look into this man's background, I said, I'll bet you dollars to donuts, you will see that this man was a heavy drug user. And there it is in the London Daily Telegraph. For years, James Holmes was smoking marijuana. He was a pothead. He fried his brains on that stuff. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in front of student groups, because I debate a lot of groups here in Washington, D.C. I'm known as a prominent conservative. And so high school students, college students, they come around from around the country. And these organizations say, Jeff, will you please debate a liberal? And the question is always asked by one of the students, where do you stand on drugs and legalization of drugs? And in particular, the legalization of marijuana. And I tell them over and over again, usually to boos in the crowd, I am against the legalization of drugs just as I'm against the legalization of poison. It's the same thing. I believe poisons should be made illegal. Drugs are personal poisons, and they will fry and destroy your brain. And in one violent act after another, you will see people use crack cocaine, cocaine, heroin, LSD, marijuana, whatever it is, and it destroys their mental faculties. It's not just the addiction where they need to keep feeding their habit, which causes them to commit crimes. It's also because they've lost all connection to reality. And so the media in this country is not telling you that for years, James Holmes was getting high week after week, month after month, on marijuana. He was an addicted pothead.
And it also has come out, according to this story in the London Daily Telegraph, not only was he high on pot all the time, he was also addicted to the prescription painkiller Vicodin. And one of the side effects of Vicodin is it causes paranoia and it also causes hallucinations. So, you know, you have a back pain, your back hurts, oh, pop some Vicodin. Your knee hurts, pop some Vicodin. And then after a while, they begin to like being sedated. Basically just knocked out on the couch. Sit on the couch all day and pop a Vicodin. I had a person I knew, a colleague, once tell me that he had a back operation. And they had loaded him up on these painkillers. And he said this, quote unquote, I loved being on those things. And after the operation was done, and after his back had healed, he got so addicted to the painkillers, he couldn't stop. And he got his doctor, by bribing the doctor, by putting money under the table, to give him one prescription after another for Vicodin. That's what this stuff does. And one of the side effects is, you think you're Batman. You think you're the Joker. You think you're Bane, the villain. You think it's somehow your mission in the world to blow up buildings and kill people. That you don't live in the real world. You live in a comic book series and you're the arch villain. That's what sustained, continuous drug use does to your body and to your mind and to your soul. And yet, notice that the liberals in this country never say we should ban pot. It should remain banned. In fact, now a guy like James Holmes is a poster child for why marijuana should not be legalized. That maybe it was the marijuana that made him do it. Maybe it was all this drug use that made him do it. They never ask you that question. It's always guns, 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 guns. When the evidence is overwhelming that the use of narcotics, the use of drugs, including and up to marijuana and pot, causes you to be violent, causes you to be hallucinatory, destroys your brain faculties, destroys your connection to reality, and eventually you're a walking zombie. And so my question to you is a very simple one. What are some of the pot stories, some of the drug stories, some of the marijuana stories that have impacted you or that you've heard of that have caused people to do violent or insane acts? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Joe in Hawaii, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. I agree 100% with the prescription drug analogy. Those kids at Columbine were on Prozac. The list goes on and on of these prescription drugs that these lone shooters are on. However, I do think it's ridiculous to think that smoking marijuana would make you have a violent response and give you hallucinations. And as far as destroying your brain faculties, I'm going to have to disagree based on these new studies that have come out to show that's just not the case with the marijuana. Okay. However,
what new studies? Joe, what new studies? I haven't heard of these studies.
There's a university study. I'm forgetting what it's out of the Eastern Seaboard over there. And basically they had people smoke and put them under a CAT scan. And it was previously thought that it actually killed brain cells and shut your brain down. And they find it out it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, it's good for you.
It stimulates a different part of your brain.
It expands your consciousness.
I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying it doesn't cause people to get violent and start killing people. It causes people to eat Cheetos and sit on the couch.
Well, I've heard that argument from people who've used marijuana. But let me ask you this. If it causes people to be so peaceful and to eat Cheetos and sit on the couch, as you put it, why did this guy, we know James Holmes for years, used it? Obviously, it didn't cause him to eat Cheetos and sit on the couch. It caused him to build bombs.
The Vicodin got him going. I think the Vicodin, like you said, that's what got him going.
Well, Joe, okay, look, thank you for that call, Joe. Let me just relate one story to all of you. First of all, I think these studies defy common sense. I've known many people who've been on marijuana and pot. It completely destroys their brains. In fact, I know it's made them many of them into criminals. I have someone who is close to my wife in particular. I would say she's a very close family friend. She has a brother who actually I've met several times. He's the biggest pothead I've ever met. All this guy does is smoke pot and marijuana day and night. And yes, he spends a lot of his time on the couch. That is true. The problem is he's also a crook and he's also a violent criminal and he beats up his girlfriend and he's known to abuse his other girlfriends. And when I look at him, you can tell on him, his brain has been badly damaged by the marijuana. So maybe when he's completely high, yeah, he's like, hey, man, and he's lying on the couch. Yes, maybe then he's passive. But when he comes down, when he's no longer high, the damage to his brain has been so immense. You can tell when you look at him, his pale skin, the way his pupils are, the way his eyes are. This man is not thinking properly. He can't make one connection to another. And he has no impulse control. It stunts his emotional and mental development. This kid is not a kid. He's 30 years old. He's a grown man. But notice I call him kid. He's 30 going on 15. And so he thinks, hey, he smokes up. He gets stoned. His brain is destroyed. And he thinks, hey, it's cool to beat up on your girlfriend. Because he watches Hollywood movies as he smokes up his dope. And he thinks, hey, man, you get stoned. Isn't this cool? And then I go up and beat up my girlfriend because I'm a real man in the house. So they have been covering up the destructive effects of marijuana, the destructive effects of pot going back decades. It's also, nobody wants to admit this, it's a gateway drug. I've seen this with practically all of my friends in high school. They all told me pot, oh, it was a great thing to smoke pot. From Timothy O'Leary in the 1960s, that drugs would expand your consciousness, that drugs would make you live in a different plane, in a different dimension, a different experience of life, a higher experience. I'm like, look, man, I used to tell this to all my friends. You see this thing? And I would point to my head. That is a very delicate, intricate machine up there. That's your brain. You never mess with something like that, especially smoking something that you have no idea how destructive that is. And when that machinery is tampered with, when it's been discombobulated, it's over. You can't repair it the way it was before. Many of them said, no, I'm missing out. Okay, I missed out. They graduated from marijuana to crack, to cocaine, to heroin, to ecstasy, to LSD. I met a couple of them. I went up to visit friends in Montreal and family a couple of years ago. Two of them are homeless, walking around the streets of Montreal, drug addicts, stoned out of their mind. So when people tell me that pot is harmless, that pot does nothing for you, that pot, in fact, is even good for you, you're denying common sense. Think about it. Something that makes you high, something that makes you completely disconnected from reality, something that causes illusions in your brain, that's good for you? You're in an altered state of mind. You're altering your brain. Of course it's bad for you. And yet nobody is calling for pot to be made illegal forever. Nobody is saying that pot played a role in this. So my question to the libs is a very simple one. You say you want gun control. You say you want guns eliminated. How come you're not calling for pot to be eliminated? 1-800-449-8255. What? Give me an experience that you've had with drugs or pot that has led to violence or you causing something criminal or outrageous. I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255.
Timothy in Albany, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Pretty much I want to talk about how drugs pretty much mess up anything in your life. My cousin, he pretty much was 15 years old, brought pot home one time, hid it in his dresser drawer or something like that. Little three-year-old brother comes walking by, grabs it, puts it in his mouth, starts chewing it. Turns out it was laced with acid and all the other kind of stuff. And he went brain dead. He went to the hospital. We could not save him. He's right now. I could do it with my power stock.
Wow. Timothy, that's just heart-wrenching. And I've heard a lot of stories. I can't tell you how many people I've known in my life, in my family, not immediate family, but more cousins and friends who have either destroyed their lives or died because of drug use. And almost all of them either began smoking pot or escalated to pot from alcohol and then went on to other drugs. But no, drugs are extremely destructive. I've seen pot, just simply pot, destroy people's nervous systems. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. So when people tell me that pot use or marijuana use is not personally destructive, it doesn't fry your brain, it doesn't destroy your brain cells, it doesn't alter your perception of reality or alter your behavior, you don't know what you're talking about. You want to use pot, so you're trying to convince yourself that it's not destructive, but it is. And to me, it's no accident that James Holmes, the Aurora Massacre, the Aurora Butcher, was a pothead for many years. And frankly, the result is 12 dead and 58 wounded. And my question to the libs is very simple. You blame guns. Why don't you blame pot? Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage.
Seven.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. You know, where drugs fry your brains to the point that you don't recognize your name. You can't tell your family members. You can't tell your friends. You don't even know sometimes if you're on the same planet. Sustained marijuana drug use, sustained pot use, destroys your mental faculties. And clearly James Holmes, by the end, that in combination with Vicodin, he suddenly became the Joker in Bane. And yet nobody in the mainstream press is talking about how doctors are giving out prescription drugs, how you can find them in street corners, you can find them in schools, they're being given out like candy. That they're destroying the brains of our youth, corrupting their souls, that marijuana and pot use has proliferated over the last several decades. I just saw a movie a couple of weeks ago, Savages, by Oliver Stone. The whole movie is glorifying two men, who, by the way, are sleeping with the same girlfriend, okay, and how they grow pot in California and what an incredible business pot is. How pot is good for you, how it has all these health benefits, medicinal benefits, and it's a completely harmless drug. It's a wonder drug. And the whole movie is one long promo, one long advertisement for marijuana and pot use. And yet when a guy like James Holmes comes along, obviously deranged, obviously having destroyed his brain, obviously smoking this stuff for years, the mainstream press won't touch it. And so my question to you is a very simple one. Do you have personal stories or personal experiences whereby drug use, and especially pot or marijuana use, has led to violence, has led to personal destruction, has led to outrageous behavior? Or do you think pot use is fine? And why do you think
that the media is calling for guns to be abolished, yet they won't call for pot to be abolished. Why the double standard? 1-800-449-8255. Barbara in Texas, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi there, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Barbara?
Good. Let me tell you something about what's happened in my family. About 15 years ago, my husband had a minor operation, colon, kind of polyps, whatever. No big deal. And was put on Vicodin for recovery, okay? You know, Vicodin or Narco or hydrocodone, whatever they call it, it's all the same. Well, 15 years later, he's still taking it, and he's so drugged out. His brain is gone. He can't remember what he looks at TV. He doesn't know hardly what day it is. Hasn't been able to work in the middle since the middle 50s, and he's now 75.
He's basically a drug addict.
He basically can't.
He's a drug addict. That's what it's just. It's legalized drugs. People always say this, legalized narcotics. We've already legalized some narcotics. What Vicodin is, in particular OxyContin, is synthesized heroin. OxyContin is essentially synthesized heroin. That's what it is. It's basically a form of opium. And that's why it relieves pain, it relieves suffering. I knew a lobbyist, a very powerful lobbyist in Washington, on Capitol Hill, I won't mention his name, who claimed he had a back problem. And this is why he had to take OxyContin every day. I would see him all the time where he's taking the pills. And the moment he takes his OxyContin, you can see his eyeballs go to the back of his head. He was getting stoned under the guise of having a back problem and back pain. And he would claim that the moment he gets off his OxyContin, oh, he's in physical agony. His back hurts so much, he can't get out of bed in the morning. You can tell by looking at him, no, it's not the back anymore. He's addicted to the heroin. He's addicted to the OxyContin. He's addicted to the painkillers. And over time, he became paranoid. He thought everybody in the city was out to get him when nobody was. He saw conspiracies at every turn. He couldn't hold down his marriage. He began to abandon his kids. He basically began spending more and more money on his OxyContin. It slowly robbed him of his mind, his body, and his soul. And yet, it's perfectly legal. It's sold over the counter. Now, imagine doing that to cocaine. Imagine doing that to crack. Imagine doing that to a liquid heroin and other forms of hard drugs. Go to Amsterdam. You can go to cafe after cafe and marijuana cafes, pot cafes, and you can smoke that stuff till the cows come home. Well, go to Holland. Ask the Dutch how well it's worked out for them. They have a population addicted to drugs. They're a bunch of mindless zombies. You think it solved their crime rate? They have all kinds of problems with crime. It's destroyed their society. One by one by one. That's what drugs does to you. In fact, I'd make the exact opposite argument. Why do you think so many on the left are determined to legalize marijuana and other drugs? Because if you look at Europe, take Holland, take the Netherlands as an example. How do you force people to accept the welfare state? How do you force people to accept paying 60, 70, 80% of their taxes going to the government? How do you force people to basically give up all of their economic freedoms? Well, it's very simple. You get them addicted to pornography, you get them addicted to sex, and you get them addicted to drugs. And so they don't care. They're too stoned to care about what's happening to them. That's why they want you addicted on drugs. This way, you will not rebel. This way, you will not defend your political and economic freedoms, because you're essentially a slave of the state. They own you because they own your mind. Because now you're addicted to the drugs that they're giving out and selling. I've given you Amsterdam. I've given you the Netherlands. And I've given you now much of Western Europe in a nutshell. People say to me, Jeff, how can you have massive unemployment in Western Europe, massive deficits in Western Europe, massive economic stagnation in Western Europe. We're complaining about 8.2% in America, and rightly so, don't get me wrong. It's 15, 16, 17, 20% in most of Western Europe. It's double, triple what we have here. Hey, if you're stoned, if you're watching pornography all day, if you're getting sexually fulfilled and altering your brain and getting high, you don't care. You're no longer a citizen. You're a subject. You're a slave. And that's why George Soros has said that he has three fundamental objectives for the United States of America. Number one, as he put it, is to erase our borders by giving mass amnesty to illegal immigrants. Goal number two, socialized medicine. Get us addicted to the government and tied to the government. And number three, and this is his third big cause, the legalization of drugs. And it starts with the legalization of pot and marijuana. Why? Why is it for Soros this is his holy trinity? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, according to the radical secular left. Why is that? Because to destroy a nation, to get people dependent and permanently addicted to government, you have to get them addicted to drugs. And then you can steal their freedom, and they won't even know it, and they won't even care. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Helen in Virginia, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I'm very impressed with what you've shared. I once, long ago, was a drug and alcohol prevention specialist. And one of the things that I taught to children in their classrooms was how to just say no. Even though people have taken that phrase and made it into something to be of a joke, it's not. Because one of the things you're pointing out that is very important for your audience to understand is when children begin to use drugs at the age of 15, 16, 17 years old, their brains have not totally matured genetically or physiologically. So what you have when you have a child that is using marijuana, cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, whatever the drug of choice is, what you are introducing into their brain at a young age prevents their brain from being able to mature to a critical thinking, critical functioning kind of brain, so to speak. So you have children. There's an old saying we had in the drug ed field, and that is when children drank alcohol, for example, that's a drug of choice. When they drank alcohol, it would take them 6 weeks to become addicted to alcohol. It would take an adult anywhere from 6 months to 8 months to become addicted to alcohol. So your points are very valid and spot on. And I just wanted to call in and
thank you very much, Helen. Thank you. I mean, and thank you for sharing that with us. And you're right. Children are extremely vulnerable. They're extremely susceptible. Now, I bet you anything, the London Daily Telegraph in that story says that James Holmes was using drugs for years. I bet you, again, dollars to donuts, that when you look more into this man's past, he probably started using pot or marijuana at 14 or 15. They were selling it to him in high school, and that's how he got addicted. And why am I so certain of this? Let me give you another example. It's all personal experience. I had a very close family member, date a person who was a lifelong addict. He said he was recovered. He had rehabilitated. He was 30 when this family member brought this gentleman home to see us, to visit my wife and I. When she brought him into our house, he confessed to us that he had been using drugs for 12 years. It started when he was 17, and he said it ended when he was 29. I noticed the way he spoke, the way he behaved, his outlook on the world. He wasn't 30. He was 18. his expressions, his ambitions in life, what he knew about life, the way he spoke. He sounded like a teenager. And so I went to see my doctor, and I said, you know, what is the effect of this kind of long-term drug use? And he said, well, generally, he goes, let me ask you this. How old is this guy? And I said, well, he's 30 now. He said he's been off the drugs for about a year, but he did it for 12 years. He goes, you see, what you don't understand is this. When you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, you are maturing, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. When you're stoned, it doesn't matter what drug you use. When you're stoned, you are stunted. You're not developing at all. You're staying in the same place. Now, if this goes on year after year after year, what happens is your maturity level corresponds to the number of years you've been using drugs. And so if this guy's been using drugs for 12 years, he essentially has the maturity level of going back 12 years. So if he's now 30, he will have the maturity level of an 18-year-old. When he's 35, he will have the maturity level, even if he stays off the drugs, at best, he will have the maturity level of a 23-year-old. So on, he has permanently damaged his emotional and mental makeup. If he's 40, he'll be 28. And that's if he's lucky. I saw it with my own eyes. This kid was an 18-year-old in every sense of the word except his receding hairline and his actual age. You look at him, he's like, yeah, he's kind of 30. This guy spoke exactly like an 18-year-old teenager in every way. And of course, the relationship, it failed. And eventually he went back off the drugs, on the drugs. He couldn't stay clean because he's been on it for 12 years. So when people tell me that marijuana and pot is harmless, you don't know what you're talking about. What you want is you want to justify the fact that you get stoned. And you want to convince yourself, no, it doesn't affect me. No, it doesn't. It's not, no, it's better than alcohol. It's better than the other drugs. It still destroys your brain. Why would you want to do that? Parker in Arizona, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello. I agree that with this drug situation being a major contributor, but I don't think that's all there is to this Aurora situation. I think there's a lot more to it than that.
No, you're right, Parker. There is a lot more. My point is just a simple one, is that the media is leaping on the guns issue when they're completely ignoring the drug and marijuana and Vicodin issue, which clearly had an impact and an effect on this guy. Clearly. There's no question about it. This man was a depraved, evil, psychotic man. You can clearly see that on his eyes. People were talking about this guy for years as being bizarre and a freak. And what many see, the left doesn't think like this, Parker. They believe that every person is innately good. And that the problem is institutions. That's why you have to have affirmative action. You have to have the welfare state. You have to have more government spending. You see, people are good. You have to change their environment. Conservatives understand something. People are also evil. And some people are so evil, they will kill 12 and wound 58 in the name of some crazy ambition that they have in their head. For this man, for this sicko, it was to be the joker. And my friends, the joke is on us. 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. You know, when everything is said and done about the Aurora shooting, to me, what stands out is the duplicity of our media, the duplicity of our political class, to not want to even give the victims a chance to mourn, to not even give family members who still have wounded in the hospital a chance to care for those that are wounded immediately, like a pack of vultures, like a pack of jackals. They have been exploiting this story for ratings or for their own nefarious political ends. And immediately they've jumped on the gun control bandwagon as if that had anything to do with this. They had absolutely nothing to do with this. And have you noticed in cities like Chicago, run by Rahm Deadfish Emanuel, where they have very strict gun laws, they are dropping like flies in the streets of Chicago. There is one homicide, one murder after another. So if gun control was the solution, then there shouldn't be any murders in Chicago, or for that matter, New York. And yet it continues. The violence continues unabated. And so again, they're trying to impose a political agenda, a radical gun control regime upon the United States. And they won't look at James Holmes' drug background. They won't look at his marijuana use. They won't look at the fact that this man was a pothead and a drug addict. My friends, we are living in dangerous times with liars, political liars and media liars. And that's why we need the Savage Nation more than ever. Truth to power. Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.